Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 2nd of June, recording at 9:10 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. And what a hot summer it has been in the last few days. Well, this is my first broadcast since returning from a short holiday last week. It's good to be back in the chair and monitoring all of these interesting markets. First, a quick look at the highlights here today. Global stock markets, it's been a very quiet day with modest gains and modest losses, a mixed performance, in other words, by the global stock markets. Long-dated government bonds, which have taken a real beating recently, bond prices, that is, are a little bit steadier in here today. The U.S. dollar has taken a major beating in recent weeks, and today it has continued in that vein. We're down to 78.39 on the U.S. dollar index, and the reviled euro is up to 143, but the real stars in here are Asian currencies and resources. Currencies, Asia-Pacific currencies and resources currencies, I should say. Precious metals. It's been a decent day in here, certainly for platinum, which is up to 1251 as I speak. It's a thin market. It tends to jump around a little bit, but that's not far off the highs of the day. Silver has just been flirting with that $16 level. Just slightly below it at the moment. And gold bullion, 982 as I speak. And industrial metals today, industrial metals have been very strong recently. They had a bit of a breather today with very small declines. And we saw a mixed performance from the soft commodities that I've observed. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of this remarkable stock market performance, and what a 9 months it's been from meltdown to melt up, although inevitably the meltdown was more dramatic than the melt up. But some of these stock markets, I mean, I was interviewed by CNBC India this morning, and I had to count the consecutive weeks before that before commenting, and India is up for the 13th consecutive week, as are a few other stock markets around the globe, and we've seen absolutely stunning performances. Now, it would hardly surprise you to hear me say that this rally is getting is certainly now overextended in the short term, and I emphasize in the short term. It certainly surprised me in terms of the extent of its persistence. I mean, we were looking for a good rally off the lows, but this has been really quite remarkable, and that says something about how extremely pessimistic investors were, how much cash they had actually raised, how large the short positions were previously. But all good trends come to an end, and this one will in the short term. We are seeing little clues. I have to be careful in saying that, because most of you on looking at these charts will say, well, wait a minute, haven't stock markets reconfirmed on the upside, including those of the Wall Street leash, or the Wall Street leash effect, which is so important that we always talk about. And the answer to that is yes, but what we notice, if you look again, is that the consolidation patterns, those ranging pauses in the staircase step sequence higher, that those pauses are becoming a little bit longer and a little bit more erratic. Now, that's not atypical of these type 2 recoveries, and that's jargon from the Chart Seminar. For subscribers who haven't been to the Chart Seminar, a type 2 bottom is when you get an extreme reaction against the prevailing trend. The prevailing trend when these big rallies, really big rallies, started for a lot of these markets back in March was neutral to down. And Subsequently, we've seen the explosive moves that you're, I'm sure, very, very aware of. And fortunately, they've been led by fuller money themes, such as Asian emerging markets, resources, not least the South American, Latin American markets, and technology has had a good run. But the point I was making about uptrend consistency, and on the weekly charts, it is very consistent. I mentioned that instance of India of 13 consecutive weeks on the upside. But on the daily charts, you'll see a slight broadening of the trading ranges, and they're becoming slightly deeper as well. And that suggests that supply and demand is slowly coming back into balance. And eventually, almost certainly this month, this will spill over into the beginning of a somewhat bigger reaction or even correction. In our definition, a reaction is a little short-term pause. A correction is somewhat bigger than a reaction. But I think all that will mark is the end of the first significant advance for this bull market. And I think it is very much a bull market, and that there's no evidence that it's anything other than that. People who are focused on the lagging OECD stock markets will want to see how markets hold up on a correction. In other words, will they maintain most of the gains, which we have said previously was an important would be an important development to support the overall bullish hypothesis, or will they retrace the gains and go all the way back down to the lows, as some people are saying? And most of the people who are saying that, understandably, are people who were completely fooled by the rally and have missed it. Basically, they'd like another chance to buy at the lows. But I think there's probably too much unfulfilled demand for those lows to be retested. But again, the things to look for, as I said, a continued broadening pattern, and then we'll start to get some upside failures. But basically, we'd need to see stock markets take out the reaction lows. If this is all too technical and jargony for you, we would need to see last month's reaction lows broken by a number of important stock market indices to signal that not only was the rally over, but that a correction process was underway. Well, how serious will that correction actually be? Well, some very nimble traders may wish to anticipate it or react very quickly to it. In terms of my long-term investment portfolio, I have no intention of disturbing anything at this still early stage in the overall recovery. However, having unleveraged my trading account in terms of the stock market positions that it previously held, I would be an interested buyer of fuller money themes on the first significant pullback and or correction. Now, I think downside risk for the leaders, and those are, again, mostly Asia, emerging Asia and resources markets, but I think a downside risk for them will be a reversion to the mean in terms of the 200-day moving averages, which are now rising. You remember, it wasn't all that many months ago when we were criticized for saying that stock markets were going to rally back to those 200-day moving averages and a reversion to the mean and then eventually break them, and that those averages would eventually turn up. Well, certainly for the leading stock markets, those 200-day moving averages are beginning to turn upwards. The indices broke above those 200-day MAs last month, if not earlier. And they have seen, in some instances, the best have seen some quite significant gains above those MAs. Now, this is all supportive of the overall bull market hypothesis that we have been talking about. So all in all, I think it's a little bit risky in terms of short-term timing to be putting money into the stock market at these levels. I'm not inclined to attempt another hedge short position to anticipate a setback at this stage. My strategy will probably be just to wait for that pullback and then to increase my longs when I do see it. Meanwhile, elsewhere, long-dated government bonds. Well, I closed some positions before I went on holiday, and one of those was a short in bonds. I would dearly love to see a bit of a technical rally there. I'm not sure we'll get one, but if we do, it's because some investors become a little bit frightened when stock markets do pull back, and that might steady up the bond prices. Or perhaps central bank governors or treasury secretaries will try to jawbone them up a little bit, as I think Geithner was doing with the U.S. Treasuries yesterday or today. But basically, the bear market is underway in long-dated government bonds. That means that the big move in yields will be for further rises, with, of course, the corresponding bond futures prices coming down on those long-dated government issues. So I'm a short seller after technical rallies, and I'm hoping for another technical rally. In terms of currencies, I closed my longs against the dollar, or my dollar short positions, again before going on holiday. The dollar has really taken a hit in here. I don't think it's over. Naturally, I'd like to see it punctuated by a technical rally to enable me to get back on in some of those currency positions. And over the last few months, I've variously been short the dollar against the euro and also against the Australian dollar and also against the Norwegian crown. But suffice it to say, the dollar still looks weak here, and I think we will see a test of the lower side of the dollar index's range at some point this year. Meanwhile, on a short-term basis, that dollar decline is beginning to look a bit overextended, although it's not as overextended as some of these short-term stock market rallies are. Precious metals are predictably responding to the dollar weakness, which has flattered their performance a little bit. I made that point yesterday, and Owen has made that point also last week. So gold, for instance, is very steady in here. It's a good performance overall, but it's not appreciating at the moment against the firmer fiat currencies. And as we've observed over the last many years, is that gold's best moves occur when it is rising against all currencies. That's not the case at this stage. That's not surprising because this is seasonally a quiet period for gold. Markets don't always adhere to those seasonal periods. They certainly haven't with stock markets for a while, including the sell in May and go away adage, which looks like it was at least a month too early. But the buildup of support for precious metals is impressive. Take gold, for instance, which is the one most of you will be interested in. Since the climactic October lows, it's been the best performer. And arguably, it's outperformed all other asset classes except for long-dated government bonds. And long-dated government bonds have peaked and are, in our opinion, the last bubble to burst, along with the US dollar. And therefore, we're looking for, it wasn't a huge bubble for the US dollar. It was for long-dated government bonds, though. and that's over. So you take that strength of gold overall, and in that it's one of the few assets that was hit during the climactic selling that we saw into October and early November of last year, and it's back within sight of its all-time highs, and that's despite lots of talk of IMF selling, and we will see some IMF selling, but I've written about that a little bit here today and provided some links to articles detailing what that would involve, and it's not all that significant. So I maintain that other than any environment other than some sort of shock, totally unexpected news for gold, what might that be? Well, for instance, perhaps the U.S. I don't want to start rumors, and I'm not, but the sort of thing that would worry me in the medium term, short to medium term, would be if the U.S. said it was thinking of selling some of its gold. Not impossible, but that would be very controversial, and I emphasize I've seen no stories or rumors to that effect. What does impress me is the chart pattern for gold overall. It does look to me like it is building up for another major move on the upside, which we think will take place before the end of the year, certainly commence before the end of the year, and maybe sooner. And that's pretty much it, I think, here today. I hadn't mentioned crude oil, but had a little bit of a weaker tone earlier today, but here it is, 68.67. So, you know, if we look at where will the inflation be, and people have been talking about deflation a lot, and where they've seen, I would argue that they've seen disinflation in house prices, they have seen deflation in wages, they've seen deflation in the prices of a number of manufactured goods due to competitive pressures, and also some technological innovation, which is pretty well constantly an ongoing factor. But the inflation that we're seeing in response to this massive monetary reflation, the biggest in human history, as I've said on many occasions, the recipients of that money are monetary metals, and that's gold, silver, and platinum mainly. Certainly in commodities generally, which have picked up really quite strongly since October in many instances. And I suspect they have a long way to go before the moves become self-defeating. In other words, commodities begin to price themselves out of the market, or if they've all gone up, they create renewed recessionary pressures. We're not there yet, needless to say. So there's plenty of additional scope on the upside. But I think commodities, some of the commodities will be future bubble candidates. And I want to be participating in the future bubbles. And I think also stock markets, led by the fuller money themes. I think we've seen the strength of their recoveries, and they are future bubble candidates. Meanwhile, all we have to worry about in terms of downside risk, I think, is that reaction or correction and consolidation that we've talked about. And I think that's it for today. So all the very best to all of you.